There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah,
first
you.
First down Texans to begin this possession at the Houston 33. Stroud fakes the toss. He has time in the pocket. He's going to gun it long. And Nico Collins is there at the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. Touchdown, H-Town. A bomb from Stroud to Collins.
I knew some. My bad, Nico. My bad, CJ. Didn't mean to step on that fantastic 67-yard touchdown.
You got one more than Laramie does.
All right.
Well, actually, that's a good thing. Start than
I'll take
does.
That one. Hey, Laramie Tunsil clean. Texans get a 23-20 victory. It is John Lopez.
I'll take that false start every week.
Reaction.
Yes, sir.
Monday.
Yeah.
Here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got myself, Reginald Atitula. Byron Matthews sitting in for our guy, Figgy Fig. Figgy was just like, that was enough. I saw all I needed to see.
I'm Figgy called off. In sick.
He's sick at working
air
on his
quote,
birthday.
Sick.
Sick of working on his birthday.
We will have this discussion tomorrow.
Oh, really? Will we?
Oh, hell yes.
Okay. Executive decision made
just
by John
say it,
Lopez.
Man. Just say it. It's my birthday. I don't want to work.
Which, look, that's enough of a reason in my book. Shout out to Figgy Fig. But shout out to your Houston Texans. 23-20 victory. A thrilling victory, in fact, including that huge 67-yard touchdown we just saw. 59.1 yards in the air. Fifth longest completion of the season. Not by the Texans. Fifth largest complete or longest completion in the season. Just, I mean, so many things to enjoy in this. I feel happy because the last few times that the Texans have had a victory Monday, haven't felt like I've been able to get to this point.
Yeah.
But this is a great one. In fact, is this the most exciting wins that the Texans have had this season? It's got to be, right?
I don't think it's even close. This is not, you just alluded to it, this is not a but win. Yeah, there was some things that maybe we can parse out.
We will nitpick.
And we will nitpick.
That's right.
But I left the stadium. I woke up this morning feeling the same way. Sometimes that's not the case, but I woke up this morning feeling the same way. You got to look at the whole, man. You have to look at the entirety of the day and what happened at NRG Stadium. And on the whole, it is the most exciting win of the season. It is the best win of the season, and I think it's the most impressive. I think it's the most impressive because that was. Yesterday was very much, you know, people always say it was playoff atmosphere. Playoff atmosphere doesn't happen until the playoffs, in my view. But it was trending that way. It was feeling a little bit like that. Great opponent, big-time atmosphere, ton of fans from Buffalo, but the Texans fans were incredibly loud, like about as loud as you could get. And then you were challenged at the end. And somehow, even though you were making some mistakes there at the end, You responded, they didn't, and you made a game-winning field goal. You can't get better than that.
Yeah, and I think this is as close to a full complimentary game that we've gotten from your Houston Texans. You got the defense playing incredible, but I think the thing for me has been you have all these offensive pieces that you were hoping to see, and I keep using this term because I haven't come up with a better option for myself. But rev the engine. And you got to see, oh, this offense can get humming at a certain point with things going when they're playing the way that they should. And now we can work on getting that for the entirety of four quarters. But you got out to a 20-3 lead in this. And a good amount of that was your offense was moving the football in the way that the way that God intended it.
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah, that was great. You mentioned the Bills fans. Funny enough, I had a hard time being able to tell like how many Bills fans were actually in the building because of the particular colors that they wear with the, you know, white jerseys, blue jerseys, it kind of filtered right in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was impressive, the environment. Houston is behind this team, man.
No, big time. And the thing about the crowd is you could really tell how many Bills fans were there when they introduced Stephon Diggs. Like, the boos were cascading and rocking that stadium. But you know what? They weren't as loud as Texans fans.
No,
Texans fans were incredible. And as far as the win itself, keep in mind, you talked about the start. That's the first time we've seen that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's the first time we've seen where, you know, I kind of had fun with you and B. Scott, because after their big touchdown drive, I leaned over to you guys. I said, is that the most impressive drive that the Texans have had in a first half all year?
That was the very first drive, wasn't
it? The first touchdown drive. And you and B. Scott both said, oh, yeah. Next drive, they went 67 to Nico Collins, and I said, is that the best drive that the Texans have had in the first half all year? So they went boom, boom, and that's what we've been waiting for, right? We've been waiting. C.J. Stroud was 9 out of his first 10, 139 yards. 10 for his first 10, 177 yards, and 152.1 quarterback rating. That's the team we know. That's the team that we were hoping to see.
And it's not just that you did that, right? It all came together against your best opponent of the season thus far, mm-hmm. the Buffalo Bills, at least the most highly regarded. And I know that on the morning shows, they're like, is this a bad loss for the Bills? Hey, man, whatever y'all want to talk about. Eventually, we can get to that place where we're talking about it. And I imagine a lot of that conversation comes up because Sean McDermott brain farted at the end of the game. Was like, why run out the clock when we could just have Josh Allen throw the ball deep? But this was a tough opponent, right? Like, mm-hmm. this team that you're playing against presented some challenges. Yes, they had some injuries, especially in some big places. I know Taylor Rapp didn't play.
Yeah.
I know Khalil Shakir didn't play. There's other folks that you can mention. Ed Oliver didn't play. But this is still a good team, and you came out and you immediately handled up and got yourself into an advantageous game script.
But would the Bills trade that for missing your starting right tackle, your top two running backs?
Yeah.
And arguably the best receiver in the league for three quarters, because that's what the Texans had.
Nine total snaps.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had your right tackle out, top two running backs, and the best receiver in the game.
And I would also like to throw this out here, as people have been getting on Figgy for this. Your middle linebacker, starting middle linebacker, apparently had an illness that made him lose 10 pounds
mm-hmm.
before the game, or like the day before. So, yeah. Like that was kind of wild. Azeez Al-Shaair. But we will salute him all up and down this show.
Yeah, we will.
Because I am a little bit more like Figgy in this regard. Of course, I keep bringing up Figgy. Shout out to our guy on his birthday.
He's sick.
But yeah, I will take off when I would like to. If I have a hangnail and it's not feeling quite right, you will not see me. Azeez Al-Shaair was like, I feel like my stomach is about to come through my esophagus. Let's get out here in this Tampa 2 and run down some passes.
Yeah,
like that's not
even what he does best. That's his weak spot.
Right, man. This team was played incredible against a team that you needed to show up against, and now. Yeah, we can start talking about the contention stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I felt real negative, and I know that there's some people that have some opportunities to feel negative within this one, but I bought into the incremental kind of approach
mm-hmm.
of win the games, first and foremost, and as long as you are showing improvement and getting better, it's a long season, and you will get to where you need to go, I believe.
Yeah.
And this definitely felt like it felt very well within that, where you had a marked improvement on the offense. You had an incredible defensive effort. Special teams handled up in the way that they needed to. Penalties got better. Third quarter. We'll talk about that as well.
Uh-huh.
But all of those things, you saw incremental improvement, maybe more than incremental even. And this team got a big win against a big opponent. One that could factor in later in the season.
Because
if you end up in the playoffs, that could be your tiebreaker of sorts.
You talk about wins and losses. And before the season began, I said I could see the Texans going 6-1. Well, look where they are. 5-1 in their first six games. Look where they are at 4-1 with going to New England. In terms of wins and losses, you got exactly what you were hoping for realistically going into the season. Leaving that game and this morning on this show, I can tell you right now that for the first time since the season started, I can tell you with authority, this is a squad. This is a squad. Despite because they're not even all the way there yet. You know, there are things, as I said, we're going to parse out. But they have gotten to 4-1. They have gotten and shown some things finally against a really good opponent. And, oh, by the way, I said the guys that were missing in the game, that doesn't even count a linebacker in Christian Harris, who some people think is going to be a Pro Bowler or could be a Pro Bowler, the best interior defensive lineman who's going to come back after next week, and other things, you know, that are going to be returning soon. So this squad has gotten it done. There is nothing that's going to rain on my parade. I actually appreciate, now that it's done, the fact that they had to respond. They made some mistakes, and they did. They responded. You know, they responded the right way.
I want to take this to the next level here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the most important, is this the best win of the D'Amico Ryans era? Because one of the things that we were talking about coming in was something that Mike Florio mentioned, and I've really been pondering it a lot. This Texas team in the D'Amico Ryans era hasn't, at least it felt like they had not beat a team that they weren't supposed to beat.
Mm-hmm.
They had handled their business and done the things that they were supposed to do against the teams that they were supposed to. But when they got to those teams, those matchups I don't know if you're supposed to win this one, it didn't.
Yeah. I would say the Bengals game last year when CJ went head-to-head, these are all in the same boat.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it's not, but I would say when he went head-to-head with Joe Burrow, and I would say the Browns playoff game. Would be up there as well as this one, but it's in the hunt, it's in the discussion. There's no question about it. And oh, by the way, you know, you're in a place right now with the second best record in the AFC. You are going to play the team ahead of you, directly ahead of you, and the team directly behind you at the end of the year in the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. So, this is one of those where, again, there are little things that deserve talking about, deserve us to talk about, but overall, this was about as good a game and about as nice a statement, which people use that term a lot, as you could make.
Yeah, and it was also great to have it in that particular environment. Man, the Reppin' H-Town game, it showed up, man. It was a fun environment. And I'm glad that people had a lot of fun within it, at least from what I could tell. It was awesome to see, like, those loud moments. It's one of those things that I try and note when I'm taking notes during the game. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sure, by the way, if the note thing is working for me or not. But one of the things that I take note of, and I remember during the Jacksonville, there was a few of these moments as well, where, like, when the stadium just gets really loud.
Yeah.
And you still have those moments in this game. You definitely have those moments in a big way. And so it's awesome to see folks showing up and supporting the team in that regard. But the team also giving those folks something to cheer for in various different degrees. And they're doing it with different levels of degrees of difficulty because, again, I think Nico Collins is – I'm calling him the boogeyman. I've leaned all the way in on that. I'm willing to talk about him as a top wide receiver in the league. And he left. This offense looked a little different, but it did not become ineffective.
No. And you know, the fact that you mentioned the crowd – and you mentioned Nico, that's the other ingredient that we saw yesterday. Like, we've seen hints of it, obviously more so from C.J. Stroud than anyone else. But in order to be that team, you know, the team that we expected, the team that is currently the second best in the AFC and clearly on a path to get even better and maybe even, you know, lead the AFC by the end of the year, because I mentioned you're playing the Chiefs and the Ravens at the end. But what you really need is those transcendent players.
Yeah.
Like a player that can do something that maybe less than a handful of other people in the league can do. Well, CJ Stroud is one of those. But I think we're in a place today, Reggie, where we can say Nico Collins is one of those.
Yes.
He broke that game open yesterday.
100%.
I think we're in a place where we can say Derek Stingley is one of those. He is a bad dude. Like Derek Stingley is a bad, bad dude. And frankly, let's put Kyahmi Fairbairn in the mix. That is 59 yards to, you know, and a weapon, and everybody in the locker room was like, yeah, we knew he wouldn't go miss it. Like, dude, to have that weapon, ask Cincinnati about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask Cincinnati about having that. And they have a good kicker, and it was a hold thing, but still, you know, everything has to work. You have to have the confidence in a guy that can win a game that really was maybe slipping away at the end, but nah, they won it.
By the way, you saw how that the game winner cut?
Which one?
The field goal, the game winning field goal, how it cut, how it looked like it was.
Oh, it was
off
going
line,
left.
And then whoop.
Well, yeah, it went right back right.
I just wanted you to remember that from that last
time. Oh, from the last one? That was a push.
All right.
Oh, okay. By the way, maybe Mixon is that guy too. We'll find out.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah.
You do not have Joe Mixon. You mentioned the top two running backs, but like, it has seemed like you've only really been able to have a dominant run game when he's playing, and he has not been in this game for the last few weeks. So that's been incredible. But huge win, 23-20, at the death, as they'd say in soccer. And so a lot of excitement in this one, and that filtered all the way into the locker room. This was D'Amico post-game. And It was also, at the end of this audio, you'll hear another guy for whom this game was really huge for.
Hey, congratulations, man. Awesome win. Awesome win. Awesome win. Hey, man, we talked about it, man, playing complimentary football. Everybody relying on each other. Each phase, special teams, defense, offense, when we needed it most. Defense, you get a stop. Rob, you get the return. And then with the 59-yard. Walk off. Where's Emi? Here we go. Hey, Texans all-time leading scorer. Awesome job, man. Hey, we talked about getting better. We got better this week, all right? We stepped up and made plays when we needed to make plays. Everybody executed. That's what it looked like, boys. Hey, let's keep going. Let's keep getting better. Let's keep grinding. Let's go, baby.
Hey, y'all know how much that meant to me. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. But the biggest thing, we got to get back to work, man. That was a hell of a win, but we got to get back to the grind. On the next week, man. Love y'all, boys, man. Texas on 3, 1, 2, 3. Texas.
That's right.
Atta, baby.
If you don't know who that was that broke it down.
Y'all know how much that meant to me.
Stephon Diggs, baby. Like, that was another part of that made this game really, really fun.
His voice went up an octave.
It means something to him.
It meant something
to him. It means something to him. And, like, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that breakdown. Because first of all, just like, that's a dude who wears his heart on his sleeve, mm-hmm. especially around them boys.
Yeah.
And you could tell around this team, we were talking about that going in, that they all wanted to win it for him. They went and did that. And I do love that he made note of that, but he's like, yo, we keep this thing going. We need to get back to work. And I think that is the hope when it comes to the Stephon Diggs thing. I know that there was the long form piece about some of the I guess conflicts or what have you that may have happened in other teams. But the beauty of it is that you see it there. Stephon Diggs seems to be a catalyst for growth and development on this team. They all love him, and he continues to push them forward. We've seen it on the field offensively. It's nice to see some of those other things behind the scenes of the ways that he's a good influence outside of what people are trying to paint it as.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs had more receiving yards than Buffalo Bills wide receivers had in the game. That's the first thing. He had more than any receiver, any combined receivers that the Bills had. And then there's this last thing that I thought was... Because, like I said, my big takeaway here is you got to look at the whole. And Houston, you know, has a squad. This is the team we thought it was going to be, and it's really just getting better. And the reason for that, the biggest reason, despite the game breakers we talked about, Mixon and Nico and Derek Stingley and Kyahmi Fairbairn, those guys that you have to have if you're going to be make a playoff run, they have C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud had a bad run at the end of that game.
Yeah.
Interception. Fumble, an intentional grounding, and you know what? He said, screw it. And they got the ball back after that stupid Sean McDermott sequence, and he did just enough to get him into the field goal range. C.J. Stroud is that guy, man. I mean, he just absolutely is.
Yeah, we got so much to talk about on a Victory Reaction Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. But the most important thing, the main thing, keeping that the main thing, 23-20, the victory of your Texans moved to 4-1. Beat a potential postseason, you know, rival when it comes to the Bills, and move on to New England when it comes down to it. So congratulations to the Texans. We got a whole bunch of things to break down as we keep this going on a Reaction Monday. And coming up next, we'll get the OG's passing thoughts after that victory. We'll do that next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 60.
Experience. Wisdom. Opinions. Barbecue sauce. Argy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just...
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
That's still concerning.
I feel like I should just leave it a mystery.
Oh, I mean,
leave it a mystery.
Tried to make it known that I don't ask questions that I don't want answers to, and so I don't actually want to know what that was.
Yeah,
but it is concerning. All right, OG, what you got for me?
All right, let's go. Let's start with the pregame thoughts. First of all, I'm proud of you.
I do.
Yeah, you embraced the tailgating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You. What was the total?
All right. I think it was...
I mean, you, to be sure to have your back, you weren't, like, drunk or anything.
No. In fact, I was more leaning after the first... during the Bears game.
Yeah.
I think I was more leaning that one. But that was because I had three shots in quick succession at the end of the tailgates. And that was not in a good
place. But you put up a pretty good tally.
Four shots, three drinks, I believe.
How about that? In about an hour?
Yeah, thereabouts.
That's good. So that's one.
But I washed that down with a whole bunch of great food. So it's
some food, yeah.
It balanced it out.
So pregame passing thoughts, that's one. Tailgating this year, and you can speak to this, because I've been out to tailgate every week except for this past one. Tailgating is next level right now in that Texas
park. Top notch.
I mean, it is really good. Another passing thought pregame. That was an unacceptable number of Bills fans that were in attendance. You know, Friday I said I'm probably going to be 20% of the crowd's going to be Bills fans. Dude, it was 30-35 at least.
Okay.
At least. That's unacceptable. And you could tell because, as I mentioned earlier, when Stephon was introduced, like, that stadium rattled with boos.
Yeah.
Like, they were – all those Bills fans – we're booing him. Another quick pregame thought before we get into the other ones. Steven Sims is on notice.
Thanks for stopping by the booth,
man.
Like, Robert Woods got your job now.
Healthy and active.
Robert Woods does need to figure out when he can just let the ball go. Like, I think he might need to take stock of where he is on the field. Mm-hmm. You don't need to catch the football inside the five. Let that thing bounce, buddy.
Well, we'll get to that in these passing thoughts. In fact, I'll get to it right now before we get into some better things. Kyahmi Fairbairn notwithstanding, there are a lot of things to address when it comes to special teams. Let's go through a couple.
Okay, all right.
We know the breakdowns they had in previous game. Block kick, I think at least one good return, one called back on a punt, or on a kickoff, excuse me. Tommy Townsend came through at the end with a punt that was down inside the five-yard line.
But he also had a punt that was a...
He is not worth the money you're paying him right now.
Oh.
He's not. Right now, he ranks 28th in the league in punting average, and he gave the Bills a short field twice. They scored on both those drives.
The tough part about punting average is that it's not an exact science, because mm-hmm. sometimes you're like corner punting, right, or what have you.
Right.
Right. Sometimes it's not but that doesn't necessarily filter in as much in this situation because you have Kyahmi that kicks from so far, so usually if you're punting, you've got enough room to make it a long one.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying.
And then there's Robert Woods, which you also alluded to. Two catches inside the five-yard line, one on the three. They've got to fix some stuff up. I mean, Frank Ross is really, really good. But, boy, they've got some things. Again, good on Tommy Townsend for coming through when they needed it the most. Obviously, Kaimi's just notwithstanding. I mean, he's in another dimension.
But you gotta listen to Kyahmi here in some ways, because Kyahmi talks about kind of how and it's kind of wild to say, the championship experience that Tommy Townsend has mm-hmm. has been helpful, right? So how much does that matter when you're considering how much you're paying him? Like, I understand the punting has not been as top-notch as you imagine it should be, but the execution of these field goals, he is the holder in these situations.
Yep.
And for some, like, in some ways, I imagine that that factors in.
Sure.
Just knowing what to do and knowing how to be act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
Some of that comes from the dude.
And he has won a couple of Super Bowl rings, so he's been in those moments. Again, look at what happened in Cincinnati, which we'll get to later. So Seth Payne, another passing thought. Seth Payne tweeted early on, it seems kind of unfair to face Trevor Lawrence 2 weeks in a row. And I thought to myself, okay, be careful with that. But you kind of faced Trevor Lawrence 2 weeks in a row. Josh Allen was not good. He came up with some moments, but he was, what, 9 for 30, 31, something like that?
Yeah, he was not the Josh Allen that we had seen earlier on the season. He was a little bit closer, if not a lot closer, to mm-hmm. the YM.
What do you
Josh
call it?
Allen. The bozo gene pops up.
The bozo gene.
He did a little bit of that. He didn't do too much of that, but he did a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I think more than anything, he was just missing.
Yeah.
He was missing in a way that he has not early on in the season, which we appreciate. Mm-hmm. We really do. But they were also taking a lot of shots.
They were.
Like, his
and average, like, Trevor Lawrence missed them.
Yeah, his average depth of target was 12.5 yards. Like, he was chucking it downfield. Just wasn't connecting.
Who was the one he missed wide open?
Matt Collins. Well, that wasn't the one he missed. Matt Collins just dropped it.
But there was another one he missed that he overthrew.
Yes, he did.
It was very much Trevor Lawrence-like.
Yeah, I can't recall exactly who that was.
Another passing thought here. And this is speaking to Texans fans. Azeez Al-Shaair needs to be a much more popular player than he is.
Yeah, get y'all some zero jerseys.
Get some zero jerseys. Give him the love that he deserves. What he did, if it were a playoff game or it was he was a bigger name, people would be talking about like a Jordan flu game kind of thing. Like, he lost 10 pounds the night before. He was in the hospital the night before. He came out and had not only had, I think, two tackles for losses and a sack, but he was always around the ball, making tackles, led the team in tackles, and defended two passes that were crucial. And that is his weak spot. That is, well, I shouldn't say weak, but that's the one area that he doesn't get a lot of accolades for, is pass defense. Aziz Al-Shaair is a dude, man.
Yeah. And it's all of the heady stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He's the soul of this defense.
Yep.
That's something you absolutely have to say. He is what's making this defense great. And I turned to you when it happened in the first half, mm-hmm. and I cannot shake this. The play when it's Tampa 2 and he is going from middle linebacker, yep. hoofing it backwards, and able to get up in the air and knock down a pass in the middle was incredible to
mm-hmm.
me. That's outside of understanding that this man was puking up his guts.
Lost 10 pounds in a night.
Right? Like, that is insane to me.
He should be a very popular Texans player.
He's very good.
Another passing thought here. Not that I'm hoping for it, but I honestly don't know why more teams don't just pound the ball against the Texans. Their defensive line, their weak spot is they get moved. They get moved sometimes. And there were moments where I was saying, look at the line of scrimmage. Like, it was moving. They were moving them 1 and 2 yards. So, you know, obviously Cooks had some his moments. But I think if I'm watching film, I think a lot of teams are saying, why don't we just pound the ball on this defense a little more?
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the things that you look for. And, I mean, I thought that the defense, after the first drive or two, they found a little bit there. Mm-hmm. But also, to be fair, the Bills got away from it. And I could tell at the start of the third quarter, I know exactly what mm-hmm. Joe Brady was talking about in there. It was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. When we were using that jumbo package, we were working them more.
Yeah.
And it almost became Pavlovian.
Yeah.
My response to hearing number 70 is an eligible receiver. I was like, oh, there's jumbo package.
Oh, boy, here they go. Here they go.
Here we go. And now the team, they did not break. Like, they found the right moments to be able to hold up. But there was that jumbo package came in, and, oh, here comes the first down.
Yeah. Another passing thought here, and this is a big one that we're going to revisit today and this week, I'm sure. What does Cam Akers have to do to get more carries? Sorry, Bobby, I don't understand it. He had 9 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown, 15-yard touchdown. Dari had 15 carries for 30 yards. Now, he was valuable in some of those, and he was valuable in the passing game. But what does Cam Akers have to do to get more carries?
Did you feel like this game was more about Cam Akers himself or more about Dari when it comes to like the handoff split? Mm-hmm. Because Dari carried the ball 15 times, Cam carried it 9, and it very much felt like, oh, this is a knee jerk reaction to last week where Dari was very good. And Dari, like, I think some of it was making sure that you're not predictable. You mm-hmm. actually run the ball with him, but he had whole drives where he was the guy and they were handing it to him straight up in run looks.
Yeah. He had the first 4 carries of the game. He started and had the first 4 carries of the game. And and if you had told me the over-under on most carries that Dari Ogunbowale would have in a game this season was 14.5, I'd have said, pound the under. Pound the under. Well, he had 15 yesterday. It was... We'll revisit that. I blame me.
Oh, excellent.
I blame me.
I also do blame you. What are we blaming you for?
My bad. That's on me. I'll take the brunt of the criticism. The Texans had 0 penalties in the first half, and I said, hey, the Texans have 0. I tweeted, hey, the Texans have 0 penalties in the first half. How'd that third quarter go?
See, I hypothesized with Sean during this game or after the game that they went with the supermarket sweep approach. They were like, look, you get no penalties, but the third quarter, go wild.
We'll right? be
like
good just, with you.
There is no cost on penalties. In the third quarter, you go wild. And then after that, we lock it back in.
Yeah.
Of course, I am joking. I highly doubt that that's the way that they handled it. But I almost felt kind of oddly glad that like it was contained in a mm-hmm. way. Still doesn't need to be that. But it was kind of contained in a way. And also, I think there were penalties that came within the run of play, mm-hmm. and they weren't at some of your nagging spots.
They weren't boneheaded.
They weren't boneheaded, and they weren't at some of your nagging spots. As you already alluded to, Laremy Tunsil did not pick one up.
Yep.
Like, that means something. Mm-hmm. That is something that is valuable, I imagine.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I really wasn't that upset about it other than the number at how those penalties broke down.
Some of them ticky-tacky as well.
Yeah, a couple of them were questionable for sure. Another passing thought here. Derek Stingley is a blanket. He is an absolute blanket. That guy, outside of Surtain in Denver, I think he's the best cornerback in the league.
Ooh.
I think Surtain's the best. I think Derek Stingley's right behind him.
You know, we're going to have to revisit that because I'm not.
I know sauce. I know all this stuff. That dude, if you watch, like I watched a couple of highlights of just everything that he was doing. I'm like, holy smokes, he's something.
Yeah, but I mean, you're comfortable with your outside corners.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to be.
We'll get to the other one when Who Hooped comes around later. Last one here for you. Thank you, Sean McDermott. CJ Stroud especially should be thanking Sean McDermott. For the first time ever, like ever since CJ Stroud has been here, I dropped an expletive when he had the intentional grounding, which, by the way, was a good call. I heard John McClain earlier. I didn't agree with that. No, it was a good call. He had thrown an interception. He fumbled, which wasn't his fault. It got punched out. Or maybe you can say that it was, but I don't. And then he had that intentional grounding. But Sean McDermott was an imbecile in terms of game management at the end of the game. Total imbecilic move.
Yeah, pretty much.
33 seconds.
You could have taken that. I do wonder, though, if they had felt like they, you know, being backed up, if they could get out of the end zone.
33 seconds. Yeah. You get to overtime on the road.
Yeah.
You what's that old axiom? You know, you play for a tie at home and a win on the road. Not with 33 seconds left and you're on your own four.
Yeah, that was. And again, it wasn't even just that they were getting the ball out. They were out there looking to chuck it, right?
And dangerous passes.
Yes, they were.
Like the one down the left sideline, well, left from where I was sitting, that could have easily been picked.
You could tell that they were, like, in their game plan dossier somewhere, it was like, attack the secondary, because that was exactly what they were trying to do all the way to the very end of the game.
Okay.
And thank you for doing that. Yeah. I mean, that worked out in one situation, I think, with Keon Coleman mm-hmm. down the left side for the 48-yard touchdown. His only catch, by the way.
Yeah.
That may be the one time that it actually worked out for them outside of, you know, some drops.
I bet they're having a field day with him in Buffalo right now.
Good for them. Good for them. But, yeah, they can deal with that. Here, we're having a field day because of a victory. 23-20, Texans win. Shout out to Kyemi Fairbairn doing what he does best, nailing long field goal kicks. And shout out to the OG for giving us his pass. I think you got some tucked in the pocket still, right?
I got a few here.
All right, we might need to see if we can.
We might have to revisit.
Circle around at some point. Somebody texted in on the text line, which, by the way, that's always available. I realize I have not said that. 713-572-4610. React as well within this. And then also the YouTube and Twitch are available. But somebody was like, hey, talk about the jerseys.
Oh, I got a confession.
Oh!
I got a confession.
Oh, and I don't like the way he said that because it sounds like it'll be negative. We'll get to that.
It's up to you to decide.
We will get to that over the course of this show. All right, coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. It is Figgy Fig's birthday, so I just wanted to put that out one more time, even though he is not here.
He is sick. Sick.
Something that I was sick of was seeing some of the ways that Bobby Slowick used Dare Ogunbowale. Right, he was getting a lot of snaps, and he seemed like he just could not quit Dare. So, in that vein, what player in your life could you just not quit? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 610. That's right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. We got Byron Matthews in for Figgy Fig, who is sick.
Okay,
that's all you got.
That's all I got.
Okay, look, he's gotten it out of his system.
Well,
he's going to play nice.
I'm going to come a little harder at old Figgy tomorrow.
Okay, got it. Well, happy birthday to our guy Figgy Fig as well. As you guys getting involved.
I wonder if he lost 10 pounds.
All right. Okay. 713-572-4610.
Oh, boy. Oh, or maybe he gained 10. I don't know. It's his birthday.
Wow, that's nasty. You hear this, Byron? That's nasty work. I don't like what you're doing right now. Leave my man Fig alone. Yeah. Somebody asked, was it me or was it a little warm at NRG yesterday? I couldn't really get a feel for
that. I didn't know. I watched most of the second half in the stands, and I didn't feel that.
You didn't feel that? Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to have a good answer there if I'm up in the press box because it's just cold up there. They pipe in all the cold air up there. But then somebody also mentioned, as we were talking earlier, about the idea that penalties, for the most part, are pretty much you didn't have any boneheaded ones in the third. You did. forgot about Dalton Schultz throwing football at somebody.
Yeah.
That's probably not one that you want. But other than that, mostly, and maybe it's a sad thing that you've gotten to a place where you're like, ah, I mean, there were penalties, but they weren't like bad ones. You know what I mean? Like,
I really didn't feel that bad about them.
Yeah.
Except maybe that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, and then I know that myself and Bajani were not very pleased with that intentional grounding one that came up late in the game. But yeah.
Let's thank Sean McDermott, man.
Shout out to him being a knucklehead. Appreciate that. Let's get into the question of the day, because we highlighted it a little bit. We were talking about it. In this game, Dare Ogunbowale had 15 carries after previously being like running back 4 on this depth chart. He got a lot of carry. Well, I mean, I guess technically he was running back 3 on the depth chart officially. And they leaned on that. Like, that is the way that they handled it. He got 15 carries. They weren't the best carries, and early on, like, they were running him almost into a brick wall.
Yeah.
For me personally, I was looking at it as such as some of it wasn't Dare's fault. Like, some of it Dare probably could have made more out of. Some of it was just like, yo, the type of run that you're calling here is not beneficial and will not be super productive with the line that you're working with right now. However, it seemed like Bobby Slowick couldn't quit him, and that led to the question of the day. Who was a player for you that you could not quit? 713-572.
Doesn't have to necessarily be just the Texans, but I started thinking Texans related, and I'll maybe come up with some more players that, well, first of all, on Bobby Slowick, like, there's hopefully the point becomes moot and it's Joe Mixon, and then maybe even Damian Pierce, you know, fits in as he did in the first game against the Colts. But Cam Akers was better than Dare Ogunbowale when he carried the ball. Rushing.
Yeah.
Just better. Like, flat out. I mean, it wasn't even, I mean, anyone could see it. Why can't Bobby Slowick quit Dare Ogunbowale? Why can't he?
I wonder how much, and this is not going to be an answer you like. I already know this. Just going to put that out there. I wonder how much this is just like the managing people portion of it, where it's like, hey, Dare, you had a good game. We are rewarding you being the utility guy that you always are, always being there for us.
Yeah.
We're hand you a fight.
Maybe.
We're letting you be fully involved in a way that you aren't always, because you showed us that you handled it well. And they leaned all the way into that. Is that the way that you should probably do that? I don't know. Probably not. But it kind of had that feeling of a little bit to me. And then also, I guess if you, because I know there's some people have been a little bit more hesitant to give Cam Akers a lot of praise, as I think some folks have, when it comes to the way that he's toted the rock and pointed to the fact that Cam Akers has fumbled, right? Cam Akers has had some instances where it has not looked exactly the way that we want. And so I think that some of that probably filters in as well.
Yeah.
But I think they were just trying to reward Dare for the most part.
Players that I couldn't quit. So three players that immediately popped into mind, two Texans. That's where I started. Jacoby Jones. I used to.
Yeah.
It was a love hate relationship. With Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, it was definitely up and down.
But every time he made a big play, like, you could tell it's there, it's in him, you know, to be a game changing type player. And then lo and behold, you know, he moves on and becomes a game changer.
That was the frustrating.
Yeah, becomes a game changer for the Ravens. So,
and of course, rest in peace to the man.
Yes,
but like, when he went to the Ravens, I was almost frustrated because I was like, you ain't do that nearly as much.
I know.
For the Texans as you did over there.
Yeah.
And he became a legend for that team. Like, he became a legend for that team, and so that was a little frustrating. That wasn't what I thought of when I thought of, like, guys, you can't quit.
I kept going back and said, it's in him.
Yeah. But I guess that's fair. There are some of those, because I think one of the notable ones for me is Geno Smith.
Yeah.
When he got an opportunity to start, I tried to let people know this is the year he's putting it together. And everybody's like, nah, Geno Smith ain't good. And there he is, Geno Smith, one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. He has done some good things, although they did lose this week to the New York Giants.
Yeah.
Gross. New York Giants without Malik Nabers, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's also very weird. But, you know, he's handled it well, because he's always had that all the way back to West Virginia, where it's like, oh, he has something in there. He just needed an opportunity to come back around. So that's one of those for me. Also, Ketino Mobley.
Oh, wow. That's a pull.
Yeah, Ketino Mobley was just, I always loved the cat, man.
Yeah.
So even as he moved around the league and, you know, great and had his moments in various teams, I was always like, yeah, no, Catino's my guy.
All kinds of names are popping into my head now. 713-572-4610. Players you just could not quit. Two that just popped into my mind. One is happening as we speak, but the first one was Jameis Winston. Not because I think he's going to be all that. I just love watching him play. By the way, might be time to start old Jameis in Cleveland. But I just like, I think he's just a character that is fun. Now, the one that's going on right now.
Good answer, 832. I'll get to one in a second.
Okay, the one that's going on right now for me was when I saw Connor Wegman in high school, I said, that dude is a big-time accurate passer. Then the Notre Dame, well, first injuries happened, but then the Notre Dame game happened today, this year, and I'm like, what happened? Where has that accuracy and arm strength gone? I'm starting to wonder if he was injured before the Notre Dame game. Because if you saw Saturday, that's the dude that I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, he was putting the ball, like, you know, throw it at his eye, which one? I mean, he was that accurate. Yeah.
We'll talk more about that game, I think, tomorrow as well. But I felt like Colin Klein deserves a little bit of credit, mm-hmm. offensive coordinator. It seems like he's also progressed since that Notre Dame game when it comes to finding an offense that fits what's happening here. This is a great answer here from the A32. Players you couldn't quit. Will Fuller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, but once he gets healthy, though, like he's just going to be a deep threat that for of all mm-hmm. deep threats once he gets healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Was he ever healthy? I'm not sure if he's healthy
right now. I don't know what he's doing.
Whatever he's doing.
I
wonder if he's got an IR at the crib, right? Mm-hmm. Like he might be on that as well. Like I have no idea if Will Fuller would, but he just, you got a taste. Mm-hmm. You knew what it would look like if he could be healthy.
Yeah.
Just felt like he never was.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of those. Another Texans related one, and anyone who's been listening to me for an extended period of time or reading anything I've written, I used to destroy Kareem Jackson.
Kareem Jackson was one of mine.
His first and second year. I mean, I destroyed him. And then I became his biggest fan. And the amount of character that he showed and sort of, you know, rebounding and becoming an upper tier cornerback after the first 2 years were just an abomination. I just couldn't quit him after. I had so much respect for Kareem Jackson.
Someone said that Will Fuller works for EA Sports. Huh. Today I learned. From the 8-2, they said they couldn't quit rooting for Vince Young. Man, they wish things went differently. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Because it almost messed with his legacy in some ways. And I know legacy talk is such a weird term.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that people talk about Vince Young, it feels like, hey, we should probably talk about how incredible he was in college.
Yeah.
And it seems like that is somewhat overshadowed by his time in the NFL. Rich Gannon comes in.
Yeah.
8-3-2, they say Deshaun Watson. Really? Okay. Wow, I feel like you got a great opportunity. you had some great off-ramps to quit that one. I'm going to be completely honest.
It was one Sunday. It was one yesterday.
Yeah.
Yao is one for me.
Yao Ming?
Yeah. I thought he was superb. Top three players at one point, certainly top three centers at one point, and just people just never fully embraced him, it seemed like, in some circles, you know? He was awesome. Like, he was awesome.
Yeah, but I didn't stay around those circles, so it never crossed my mind. Good answer here for 281. Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Couldn't quit Case Keenum.
Mm-hmm.
Always, especially, like, once he got the shot in Minnesota, I was like, now he can finally be what I always thought he could be.
Yep.
Looking at him at University of Houston. Yeah, mm-hmm. Case Keenum. Shout out to Case. Injured reserve Case, right?
Yeah, injured reserve Case.
That's right. So
yeah.
It could still happen, 281. Don't hold out or don't give up hope. it felt like this team refused to quit Dare, and someone mentioned that it just felt like trust. I think they came back to the fumbles,
mm-hmm.
and it's trust and a level of a pat on the back in some ways. And it's not like he was awful in this game,
but he wasn't the best.
No, he wasn't the best. Yeah. Just when it came to yards per carry, he had 2 yards per carry compared to Cam Akers, mm-hmm. almost 4.7. It felt like you did run the ball better in some regards, but it was still up and down.
Yeah.
And we'll have conversations about Bobby Slowik. I think an intervention might be necessary there. But yeah, that's our question of the day when it comes to what players could you just not quit. Ralph Sampson comes in.
It's a good one.
Someone said EA Sports, he probably calls in sick a lot. Thank you. Thank you for that. Oh, James Harden.
Of course.
Yeah, because even while
I quit him.
You did?
I quit.
Terrence Jones is a good one too. Okay, now y'all got all the good answers coming in. Ryan Fitzmagic. Okay, very good. All right, we'll keep this going. Keep texting in 713-572-4610. At the very least, I personally will enjoy them on the text line. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, talk about some of the things that happened in this week, including a weird happening with the Texans' next opponent. We'll talk about all that next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.